today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
Here he is, as he's writing this from prison, and he says, all praise to God. All glory to be to God. Glory be to God. Praise God. Praise God. Not exactly the words we think would be coming out of the mouth of somebody who's been unjustly imprisoned, because he serves God. I think that if it was me, knowing my tendency, I might have been complaining to God.
Imagine you're finally driving on your way to work, and it's been a rough morning. You spilled coffee on your shirt and accidentally overcooked your breakfast while you were cleaning up the mess. Then you had to wait in line for gas, and now you're finally on your way. Traffic jam. Not the greatest day, huh? Well, in today's message, Pastor James teaches that you can choose certain four-letter words, or you can choose to give glory to God despite your frustrations, because he's worthy of all praise. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We started this last week. So Calvary Galveston, we just pray about it. We pick a book. We go through the book from start to finish. And when we're done with that, we got 65 other books we can pick from. And we just pick another one and we go through that from start to finish. That's just how we do things. And the Lord put it on our hearts to go through the book of Ephesians. And we started that last week. And we only made it through the first two verses. So of chapter one. It's not normally my speed. Usually try to cover a lot of ground and all that good stuff. But with this book and how amazing, how absolutely incredible the book of Ephesians is, we're going to slow down and take our time. And we might make through one verse today. Maybe. Maybe two. I don't know yet, honestly. I've studied like crazy, but there's just, if you listened to me last week, and you did your homework, right? You're supposed to read through, you know, Ephesians, especially that verses 3 through 14, that one long sentence there. You'll understand that. What we're approaching here is it's just a gold mine. It's just a gold mine. And everywhere you look, you're like picking up just nuggets of like, oh, I didn't know this was in here. Oh, I didn't know this was in here. And that's, it's just rich and it's deep and it's all that good stuff. So let's read verse 1-2. Actually, I'm going to read through 1 through 14. That's a little bit longer reading, but I'm going to read through that, and then we'll pray, and we're going to jump right into this. So verse 1, I'm going to read through the New Living Translation. It says this. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, or of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people, or the saints, in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And here's this one long sentence. It's technically a run-on. So if you're a grammar person, just hold on. You'll be okay, all right? What's funny is this is how all my papers looked in high school. There's just one big run-on, one big sentence. But verse 3, all praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ, or because we are in Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault or blameless in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us, or predestine us, into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. This was his will. It gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. at the right time, he will bring together he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news, or the gospel that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he purchased and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. That's one sentence. That is incredible. Like, even just reading through that, it's like, it's just one of those portions of scripture where it's like, do I even need to commentate on this? Like, it's just so rich and so deep. It's like, I'm reading through it and I'm like, that's praise God. Praise God. My heart just wants to, erupt out of my chest, praising God just because of what he has already said. It's amazing. So we're going to walk through this, maybe verse 3, maybe 4, maybe 5, I don't know, but we'll walk through this together. My goal, my hope for you and for myself is that we walk away today just encouraged, just blown away by how much God actually loves you and cares about you. All right, so we'll get into this, but let me just share this little story with you. I may have shared this before, but this is one of those phenomenal stories that kind of illustrates this point. There was this man in South America who he was part of a family that was wealthy, super wealthy. And his one of his rich relatives ended up passing away. And this guy stood to inherit all this great wealth, tremendous amounts of wealth. However, this man throughout the course of his life has made some bad decisions, and it's led to certain addictions, and then that's led to kind of paranoia, and he was living on the streets. And he at one point in time was married, and they ended up getting divorced, and he was homeless now. And one day, the police of that city went to go find him to proclaim to him, like, you're rich. Like, you're incredibly rich. Like, you will never have to sleep on the streets again. Like, money will never be an issue for you. You are that rich. But unfortunately, the lifestyle that this man had grown accustomed to, when he sees the officers approaching him, he bails. He takes off running. He flees. And they never find him again. And they never find this man again. And the sad part of this story is that here he was living as a homeless man. The reality of the story was, you're so rich, you have no idea. You have no clue. All that money actually ended up going to his ex-wife. But here's this guy, and he was on the run, a super wealthy individual, but he had no clue at what was made available to him. Here's the correlation. So many people in the church live as beggars because you don't understand how rich you actually are. Now, hold on, Americans. I'm not talking material. We're talking spiritually. Spiritually. We have so much that's been given to us, has been given to you. You were so rich. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you were so wealthy. You were so rich. You were so rich. Now, I need you to realize that and to walk in that from here on out. And I'm going to do my best to explain what that means. And actually, Ephesians, and specifically verses 3 through 14, that's why, just a heads up, your homework will be to take this portion of scripture for the rest of this week and sit and pray and meditate on this portion of scripture, because you need to understand how loved, how cared for, how rich you actually are, okay? So I'm going to do my best to point out some of this stuff, but let's look at this. Verse 3. So here's the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, and we understand that this letter would also circulate around other churches within that region of the Asia Minor region. Here he is, as he's writing this from prison, and he says, all praise to God. All glory to be to God. Glory be to God. Praise God. Praise God. Not exactly the words we think would be coming out of the mouth of somebody who's been unjustly imprisoned because he serves God. I think that if it was me, knowing my tendency, I might have been complaining to God first and foremost. Not praise God, but why God? Why? Why? I'm serving you, and now I'm in jail. We have a Canadian brother who spent some time in jail because they had church, because they had church. But his heart and his attitude was like, praise God, praise God. We have other brothers and sisters throughout this globe that we live on that are in prison simply because they follow God. And what's so amazing about those types of stories and the Apostle Paul's story here is from the prison cells, from behind the bars, they're saying, praise be to God. And I see that and I think, my heart's desire is that I would say that, but I know in reality, probably the first thing out of my lips would be, why? Why? There's a lot of selfishness in this little tent, you know, this worn down body. There's a lot of selfishness within here. But I'm encouraged by this. And these are those moments where it's like, and I hope you are encouraged and maybe challenged by this a little bit as well. I don't know what you're going through, but I hope the thing that's coming out of your mouth is praise be to God. Praise God. You're like, but you don't know my story. I don't. But I know Paul was locked up in jail and he was headed to death. They were going to kill him. And it wasn't just this letter, but it's all the other letters that he wrote from behind prison bars where he says, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm challenged by that personally because I want that to be my response regardless of what's going on within my life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And some days they all show up on my doorstep bright and early, right? And the same for you, right? Good stuff, bad stuff, and then the ugly stuff. But I pray that my response, my heart response is all praise to God. He says, all praise, all glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's where he just starts displaying the beauty of what we have in Christ. He says, who has blessed us. All praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has poured out his blessings abundantly upon our lives as I'm sitting in jail in a dungeon writing this out. Technically, he's probably having somebody else write this letter for him. But Paul's heart, if you can visualize this, you can put yourself there in that jail cell, so to speak, with him. His heart is erupting with praise. Simply as obviously he's being moved by the Holy Spirit, this is God breathed, but Paul can't even contain what's happening inside of his heart because he's so moved by how good and how amazing God is. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You could chew on that for a while. What does that mean? I don't know exactly, but the word does give us some insights into that. And that's where, as we walk through the book of Ephesians, we'll see this, and more specifically through verses 3 through 14. But so that you know, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if he is your Lord Jesus Christ, right? Christ is Messiah, Jesus was his name, Lord is his title. If he is your Lord, then this applies directly to you. You're like, I don't feel like it does. It doesn't matter what your feelings are. I'm not worthy of it. Of course you're not worthy of it. None of us are. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. So a few things I want you to note. I want you to note the past tense as in the fact that it has been done. It's not who will bless us with every spiritual blessing or who might bless us with every spiritual blessing as long as you're good. Or no, it doesn't say any of that. It says who has blessed us. Now, are you functioning within your Christianity, within your walk and your relationship with Jesus based off of that? With the realization that, no, he already has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. It's past tense. It's done. You said yes to Jesus, and God opened up his bank account, so to speak. He gave you his debit card, so to speak, concerning the heavenly blessings, and said, here you go, kid. It's all available to you. It's all available to you. There's a part of me that would like this to mean material blessings, right? I mean, if we're honest, it's like, yeah, that'd be nice, you know, some bills to be paid and that to be paid off or whatever. The Lord knows how to take care of his people. But if you guys remember some of the stories in the Gospels, like let's say, for instance, early on in the Gospel of Mark, there was a man who was paralyzed. He was sick. He had to lay on this bed all day. And Jesus was teaching in a house. And so Jesus is teaching in this house. And this man, he had four friends who were bound and determined to get their friend to Jesus. Whatever it took, they were going to get their sick friend to this guy because he is healing people. And so what did they do? They climbed up on the roof. It's flat roofs over there in Israel, right? And so you can kind of hang out on the roof if you want, if the weather's nice. And they begin to peel away the tiles enough to where they could lower their friend down right directly in front of Jesus as he's teaching, because they're going to get their friend to Jesus. They got to get their friend to Jesus. And as Jesus is teaching, here comes, and we've talked about this before, I don't think there's any kids above this area, but if they did, you know, we don't want that. We don't want them coming through the roof, but it'd make for a great illustration, right? it was one of my kids, not one of your kids, it's fine. But this guy gets lowered down, and there's no room in the house. They can't get in through the front door. This is the only way. And they were going to get their friend to him, and he gets lowered down, and there's this man, and then there's Jesus, and then there's the religious people watching. What's he going to do? And Jesus says, first, your sins have been forgiven to a guy who can't get up. And he's thinking, probably, that's not my greatest need. His friends are thinking, we didn't go through all that work for you to forgive his sins. We went through all that work so that you would heal him. And Jesus could say, I did heal him. I solved the biggest issue in his life. And that was his sin. And then, of course, the religious leaders were like, you can't say that because only God can forgive sins. And they were thinking this, right? And Jesus can read their minds. He's like, okay. You don't think that I can say that I don't have the right to proclaim that? Well, I'm the Son of God. And so Jesus technically is God. And so he says, all right, rise up, roll up your bed, and walk. And that's exactly what he did. So Jesus was aware of the physical need. He addressed the physical need. But priority in the kingdom of God is your spiritual needs. Don't get that twisted. Especially in our day and age, we want the material. And I get it. We want the material issues solved. You serve a good shepherd. John chapter 10, he is the good shepherd. If you're one of his sheep, he knows how to take care of you at the right time, at the right moment, to give you what you need, what you need. But my greatest need is not the material. My greatest need is spiritual. And in Christ, this is, and you can note that. I mean, you go back through this and you can underline and highlight every part where it says in Christ Jesus. Even just every time Jesus' name is referenced, whether it's the pronoun of he, and that's indicating Jesus, you can write, and it's all through this book, because this book is about Jesus. And what Paul is communicating to this church 2,000 years ago, and then to us in 2021 in April, is that if you belong to Jesus, you are so well off, spiritually speaking. You're so rich. And yet here I am, 20 years of walking with Jesus, living like I'm a homeless kid. Living like I'm a homeless kid. Because I have no clue. I have no clue of how rich my dad is. Because I have no clue. And I'm trying to do it all on my own. I'm hustling on my own. I'm scrapping on my own, just trying to make it through a day, trying to be good enough spiritually, trying to make sure I check off all my boxes and all that good stuff. And frustrated and tired, exhausted, burnt out. And the whole time, Jesus is like, dude, you have my debit card. You're my kid. You have what you need. You just need to get in touch with me. And this is the key to this whole passage. It's positionally, where do you find yourself today? Now, if you're saved, yes, technically you're in Christ. But what I'm talking about is, do you sit at his feet? Do you ever hang out with Jesus? Because if you don't, then you're living like a homeless person within the kingdom of God. You're missing out on the blessings. Sit at his feet. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with the one who wants nothing more than to spend time with you. Let me communicate it that way, to take all the legalism out of it, to take all the religious stuff out of it. Spend time with the one who wants nothing more than to spend time with you. It's not duty, it's delight. Just sit at his feet. We will understand this, every spiritual blessing, obviously, totally better, once you're in heaven, obviously, right? But I believe you can start understanding and comprehending some of this stuff here on this earth. And we'll try to get into some of this. But I want you to know first and foremost that in Christ Jesus, you've been given every, and the word means every. Technically, in all senses of the word, it means every single spiritual blessing, everything that you could possibly need in this life. To make it, it's been granted to you. It's been granted to you freely. You're pretty rich. You're pretty rich. In Christ Jesus, you're rich. Now, don't let that go to your head, right? Because that's sometimes what happens. You know, we want to, you know, stick out our chest a little bit more. Like, you know, no, if anything, this should just cause you to fall on your face before him, just like Paul, and say, all praise be to God. Praise Jesus. Because I don't even know, understand what all this means for me. But I know it's more than my heart and my brain can take. But every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms has been given to you. He has blessed us with those things. But here's the interesting little part of that little verse there, verse 3. Because, this is like this connector, you have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because. So before you get ahead of yourself thinking like, well, I know because I've gone to Sunday school my whole life and all that stuff. Oh, that's cool. That's good, I guess. Only to the extent of if you actually applied it. Because if it just went for attendance sake, then it's not that impressive. Hope, the hopeless, hopeless,
bread for the broken. Thanks for listening to this edition of Bread for the Broken. Pastor James is teaching us from the book of Job in this series, which takes us deep into one of life's hardest questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? Job's story, his undeserved suffering, his cry for answers, and God's overwhelming response remind us that there's often more going on than what we see. While Job never gets a direct explanation, he is given something greater, a revelation of who God is. God allows pain for reasons that are ultimately good, but he may never fully reveal those reasons to us. Instead, he invites us to trust his wisdom, his justice, and his love, even in the silence. The book of Job calls us to a deeper faith in the one that holds all things together. When we don't understand the why, we can still cling to who God is. If today's message spoke to your heart, we want to remind you that there's always hope and new life in Jesus, no matter where you've been or what you're facing. We'd love for you to join us in person at Calvary Galveston right here in Galveston, Texas. Our services are every Sunday at 10 a.m., and the atmosphere is laid back, simple, and focused on magnifying Jesus. If you're not nearby, you can still worship with us through our Facebook live stream each week. If this ministry has encouraged you, we invite you to consider partnering with us through a donation. Just visit breadforthebroken.com to give, learn more, or connect with us. We're so thankful that you joined us today, and make sure that you join in next time for the next edition of Bread for the Broken. Let me paint the picture of you.